fighting for America.
So I would urge the president, in the very strongest of terms, to abandon his plan for this executive amnesty and to heed the very clear message that voters sent last Tuesday.
Fighting for Idaho.
So we've got some cheers going on behind us. Do we know what's going on? They don't look so excited.
Yes, we're down on the surface. That's
what a moment, really. I mean,
fighting for you.
Ustedes están escuchando a Kevin Miller en 580 KEDO. Gracias.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. It is snowing outside. Kevin Miller in the morning. Everything's
win
pretty much...
cash right now. Call 877-854-WINS. That's 877-854-9467. The 25th nationwide caller wins $1,000 on 580 KIDO.
Well, let's try that again. I don't want to get in your way of winning the big money, but it's snowing, continuing to snow. If you don't have to go out, please don't. We'll be checking in once again with Dave Burnett, with ACHG, with Idaho State Police, with Idaho Department of Transportation, keeping you updated on the road conditions. We'll take your calls if you're open today. If you want to give us a road report, which I really don't recommend, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. But on the other hand, it is just very, very bad. Joining us now to talk about the Iraq War, Carter Andrus with us. Carter, good morning.
Morning, Kevin. How are you, sir?
Well, we're trying to adapt and improvise and overcome. Let's talk about your new publication, Victory Undone, The Defeat of Al-Qaeda in Iraq and the Resurrection as ISIS. You know, there's a hidden thing going on here concerning what we did and what we didn't do in Iraq, and you're right on it.
Well, that's exactly what I talk about in my book, Victory Undone. Is it actually how we defeated Al-Qaeda in Iraq and then how we left the country to a situation where Al-Qaeda was able to reconstitute itself, resurrect itself in the vacuum that we left in Syria, and then have a conventional invasion into Iraq and the situation we have right now.
You know, well, before we get to that, tell us about your experience in Iraq.
Well, I spent 4 years on the ground in Iraq during the war there as a military contractor. We employed over 10,000 Iraqis, Sunni, Shia, Kurds, on reconstruction projects, primarily in the Sunni Triangle in the more dangerous areas of the war.
So you were down there by Balad and all those other places?
Oh, yeah. We did work in Balad and Fallujah and Ramadi and Al-Walid on the Syrian border and Mosul throughout Baghdad. It was, you know, we're still there. We have people, in Erbil, Kurdistan. So we've been involved in Iraq since early 2004.
All right, Carter, what was it like to hire, to work with, and depend on the Iraqis?
Well, you know, I tell you, if we could boil down the message of my book, Victory Undone, which General Tommy Franks, you know, the commander of the invasion of both Iraq and Afghanistan, refers to as a solid history that reads like a thriller, is that we were able to accomplish things in very difficult circumstances working together with the Iraqis. I mean, on my average workforce on a normal day was about 1,000. And 85% of them were Iraqis. And I traveled over 15,000 miles around Iraq with my Arab and Kurd security team, where if they had turned me into Al-Qaeda, they would have got a major multiple on their monthly salary, but did not. Shared risk, you know, shared purpose, shared mission. And, you know, we got things accomplished. So we can do things together with the Iraqis, and so I think that's the positive message I want to deliver, and because we're going to have to do it again now, unfortunately.
Well, that's the issue that I have. I mean, we talk about Fallujah and those contractors that were lost there. We talk about the rise of ISIS. Does this all come down to we didn't secure a status forces agreement?
Well, that's definitely part of it, Kevin. I mean, this is what the analogy that I use is that, can you imagine if we had left South Korea, you know, with the troops pulling out 2 years after the Korean War was over? I mean, we left, it wouldn't exist today as a prosperous democratic state it is. We left Iraq in 2011 with the troops, and then even more importantly, I think we pulled out, you know, all our intelligence support in 2012 in a very fragile state, you know, in a very dangerous neighborhood.
Well, what I don't understand, and Carter, you probably know about this, what's going on now. First, it was 1,500. Now it's double. Who knows? There could be 5,000 troops in Iraq right now, for all we know.
Well, we definitely need, I believe that we can get this done without putting thousands of Americans in combat over there. Now, we're going to have forward air controllers and advisors, which has happened now, to train up, to reconstitute the Iraqi army and to, direct the awesome firepower that we possess, with our Air Force. And so that's going to have to happen. But we're going to need to bring in the regional Muslim nations to support the actual occupation of Syria, because that's really the root of the problem here, I believe.
Carter Andrews with us. The defeat of al-Qaeda in Iraq and its resurrection as ISIS, Victory Undone, his new publication. What do you say to most folks in Idaho where it's snowing right now, or even where you live in Annapolis, that have checked out of the war because of the cost, because of the casualties of the money, and say, enough of that area, we're done?
Well, I think we have to realize that these are the same people that we're dealing with now with ISIS that attacked us on 9/11. So if we look back to what was the cost of 9/11 economically, I mean, we lost an estimated $1 trillion in one day. And then imagine what the cost of TSA and all the other security elements, not to speak of the war in Afghanistan and then the war in Iraq, that this is something in the world we live in today, that this area of the Middle East is not something that's distant from us. This can reach out and touch us anytime, with lone wolf attacks right now being inspired, or such attacks as what we've sustained in 9/11. So I don't think we can escape that.
What about Syria, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Kuwait, that whole neighborhood surrounding Iraq? How do these players add to or disrupt the governance of Iraq?
Well, there's a lot of moving parts here, Kevin, and, mm-hmm. and I think if you read one book that gives you an understanding of that, from the beginning of our involvement in Iraq with the Gulf War to date, Victory Undone really has will enable you to have an understanding of where we've been and where we're going and where we are right now. The key player for me right now, I believe, is, other than the United States and our decision making, is the Turks. The Turks have said they have the second largest army in NATO. I served with them, when I was a young infantry officer, and they have a real military. They're ready to come into Syria and do the job on the ground if the United States will agree to go after al-Assad, the dictator of Syria, that using chemical weapons on his own people. They really created the genocidal cauldron that we have right now that is Syria, that metastasized with ISIS and al-Qaeda into a conventional invasion into Iraq. So the key player out there is Turkey. Now, the counterbalance to Turkey out there is Iran, which, that's a bad actor out there. And Syria is their only regional ally. And if we were to take out Assad and make Syria democratic, we would definitely put Iran in a box.
Tell us about ISIS.
Well, ISIS, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, which now calls itself just the Islamic State, is the leader of it, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. We had him in a prison after our victory in the Iraq War. To give you evidence of it, we had the current leader of ISIS in a military prison in South Iraq. When we released him in 2009 as part of our victory in the Iraq War, and the turnover security control to the Iraqi security forces, he said, "I'll see you in New York." Now, he changed the name to ISIS, he was the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq. And two leaders before him we killed, including the first leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, he declared allegiance to bin Laden in 2004, publicly declared allegiance. So this is a direct lineage. These are the same people who attacked us on 9/11.
What's the life of a contractor life compared to that of folks in the military?
Well, I was a former Army officer. There's a certain elements as a war zone contractor, as a military contractor. I mean, you definitely have to be very much, security comes first, right? I mean, we had a bunch of people working for me that carried guns. I carried a gun, it went all the time when I was in Iraq, and body armor, the whole bit. But the big differentiator is that we can move in some ways the way the military could not move. I mean, we basically integrated in with the local economy. and we hired locals, and we hired and employed them. You know, we did things the military really shouldn't be doing, you know, like electricians and driving trucks and, you know, doing sewage and those sorts of things, because, I mean, it costs so much to train a soldier out there. So we were able to actually serve as a transmission belt between, you know, the U.S. government's intent of pacifying Iraq and employing people in positive construction projects that created security and drained the swamp, you know, whence, you know, the al-Qaeda insurgency sprung.
All right, let's quickly go to the phones. Ron, Paul, Jim, you're on 580 KIDO.
Good morning, guys. Did I hear you say that Assad is allies with ISIS? Did you actually say that?
No. If I said that, then I miscommunicated. No, they're out there, but what we're doing right now is we're by just going after ISIS in Syria, all right, we're enabling Assad, you know, the dictator of Syria, to attack, you know, our allies, the moderate resistance in Syria that came out of the Arab Spring. So we're actually helping Assad by just going after ISIS, and in turn, you know, it's very, very ineffective.
Ron, Paul, Jim, anything else?
Yeah, I just found it laughable that everything you're saying is a justification for all our occupation, when everywhere we go, the outcome is Muslim extremists taking over. You know, our government sided with the Muslim Brotherhood, sided with the rebels in Libya, sided with the rebels, the so-called rebels in Syria, who then turned around and took the weapons, the training, and all the financing, which has been admitted to by the Saudi Arabian prince that he's financing, and that Turkey is funneling weapons to these people because it's fighting the Kurds that they don't like. This is the idea that they're selling oil to the open market, and we can't stop them, but we can sanction Russia and do all these things to Russia, but we can't stop tankers. Instead, you're bombing the infrastructure of the Syrian people. And I'm telling you this because I have relatives over there. I am married to a Syrian woman, and she's got family over there. And the person that's actually been fighting ISIS from the beginning until the United States armed them, they wouldn't have been having the strength that they have now. And that's exactly what's happened. Every time there's stories all over the Internet that don't make the mainstream media, that they're dropping weapons that are supposedly for the rebels and land in the wrong hands. You know, it's a joke, and I think your book is all propaganda, and I don't believe any of it. I'm done.
Oh, I appreciate that, and you know, and I understand your perspective on this, Ron Paul and Jim. And you know, the bottom line though here is that this is not an area of the world that we can step away from. We have to be involved here, and we created a vacuum by not supporting the Arab Spring democratic resistance. It really was about to sweep al-Assad from power in 2011. And, you know, and we didn't support the first Arab democracy that we installed in Iraq with much blood and treasure by the U.S. And as a result, you know, we have created a situation where we have to reengage. Otherwise, you know, we're going to lead this area to a tremendous genocidal proportion, you know, continuous battle that's going to spill over into Europe. I mean, currently, the caliphate, is run by al-Qaeda, has a border with Turkey, the threshold of Europe, thousands of Western passport holders. I mean, we cannot bury our heads in the sand. The ostrich, you know, strategy is just going to – we're going to find our head in the sand and our body separated from it if we're not careful. I mean, we have to be engaged or else we're going to see terrorism in Europe and terrorism in the United States. And it's gonna affect our economy, this ultra slow recovery we have.
Right.
So unfortunately, it's gonna take some more U.S. blood and treasure. Otherwise, you know, we're gonna be in a situation of continuous war that's gonna spread terrorism in the United States, I believe.
Victory undone, Carter. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Carter Andrus with us. He says we've got to go back. We'll take your calls, but first let's check in with Channel 7's Bonnie Shelton, who's been on the road.
Cars are moving pretty well. I would say the average speed on the interstate is around 30 miles per hour. That's about how fast we were able to go at a safe speed. We've seen cars in intersections especially kind of spinning out, sliding a little bit where that snow is packing up and shifting around. So be aware of that. I have been checking in with Ada County. Throughout the morning, their highway district is out and about. They have about 50 or so trucks who are sanding, salting, and also plowing, and they're focusing on some really key areas where people will be traveling this morning. So if you do see those trucks out, make sure you give them lots of space. I also wanted to mention I've been checking in with dispatchers. A pretty quiet morning, at least right now, as more people head out for the commute. We've had some slide offs, so be aware of that. We've also seen some minor crashes, but so far it seems like a lot of people are taking their time, heeding the warnings that we've been given. And once they head outside, if they do have to, they are giving themselves maybe double the commute time that they would usually need. So make sure you're aware of that, and we'll keep checking in and bring you some more live updates throughout the morning on road conditions.
All right, Bonnie, thank you very much. Let's get you to traffic now.
The DMB Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Slip sliding away, slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's go to Jennifer Gonzalez with the Idaho Department of Transportation. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, we're inside. How are the roads, ma'am?
You know, I was talking to one of our foremen this morning, and, you know, some of the words that he used to describe the roadways are not favorable conditions. It's been a nonstop battle. Stay home if you don't have to go out. It's just not really pretty right now.
No, you can say that again. And, of course, there are a lot of people that on their way in from Canyon County taking it slow because they have to, but you still have some people that are crazy and going fast.
Right, absolutely. That is an absolute. We cannot emphasize enough that slowing down, paying attention. The roads are snow-covered, and that includes the interstate and all of the secondary roads. On my ride into work today, I saw some individuals texting. Probably not a good idea when you're out on the road, especially in conditions like this.
Or at all.
Or at all, absolutely. Don't text and drive, but especially don't text and drive or be on your phone or distracted. There are a lot of distractions. You know, there are snow plows on the roads. There are people in different areas on other roadways. You just need to be extremely cautious and slow down way well below the posted speed limit, you know, during an event like this.
What about clearing the roads? How's that working out?
You know, our crews have been out since 2 a.m. Thursday morning, and, you know, it was moving along smoothly throughout the day Thursday. The problem started about 3:30 when snow started to fall a bit more, obviously coinciding with rush hour. So accidents on the interstate, and when plows are sitting in that traffic, they can't be plowing. They cannot be putting down de-icer. So it just slowed that process down into the evening of getting those crews where they needed to be plowing, putting de-icer down.
Jennifer, is there any etiquette for being around the plows?
You know, ITD strongly encourages motorists to give yourself enough space. It is, you know, I actually had an opportunity to ride in a plow yesterday and just noticed that many vehicles, they're not giving themselves enough space. This is a big vehicle we're talking about. And if you're not aware of how wide the vehicle is, as well as how slow they're moving, their top speed is 35 miles an hour. You just want to stay safe. Stay away from them if possible.
That would be nice. How are you planning out the rest of your day today and the weekend with the plows on the roads? Again, we always have a level of frustration because we live in an instant gratification society here, and when we see the roads aren't done, everybody gets mad, but, I mean, we're human.
Absolutely. You know, like I was saying before, our crews have been out since 2 a.m. yesterday, and it's a 2 a.m. to 2 p.m. shift, and then the next crew comes on right at 2 p.m. In this case, it's been for more than 24 hours out on the roads. There's no interruption in service at all, and we just, again, really encourage people to slow down, pay attention, you know, check road updates, call 511 or go online at 511.idaho.gov to check what's going on. But in speaking to our ITV foreman this morning, he recommended that if you don't need to be out, please stay home.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, on you've got the first responders, you've got you, your folks, some businesses, but if you can avoid that, why not?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, like somebody like myself, I would have loved to have had a snow day, alas. You may have as well, but, you know, on my drive today and the few motorists I saw out this morning, they were driving very slowly. And so, you know, schools may be closed. That does take a, you know, contingent of the population off the road. But there are still people like you and I that we have an office to be in. And I just gave myself a lot of time. My radio was off. I was not listening to music. I did not have a phone anywhere near me. I was paying attention to the road, to the snow on the road, and the motorists around me.
Jennifer, do you have any secret weather forecast you can share with us?
Don't I wish. I actually got a text from a friend last night asking that same question, what my prediction would be. But all I can say is that our crews are, we are constantly monitoring NOAA and the National Weather Service, but we're not anticipating it to be a slow day at all. They're going to be out there that entire time. So be prepared.
580KIDO, as we continue on here, Jennifer Gonzalez with us with the Idaho Department of Transportation. I'm just trying to figure out just the craziness. Do you think that because we have so many cars on the road that that's going to help or hurt? And then going into the weekend, you're going to have, you know, possible icy conditions. That's a lot to keep up with.
Right. In, you know, the de-icing product that we use a combination of magnesium chloride and salt. And so that application, it's a constant application of both of those products along with the plowing. Obviously, there is a concern that the temperature is supposed to rise today, and it's going to drop again, which is going to lead to icy roads. I'm definitely not a fan of icy roads. I don't know if you are, but when I hear words like glaze, slick, icy, I cringe a bit, and I really, really either stay off the road or drive very slowly.
Anything else you'd like to share with us today?
Slow down, pay attention, pay extreme attention to when there are snowplows on the road, and plan ahead.
Any problem areas that y'all are really focused on?
You know, actually, I was really hoping when I had spoken to our foreman this morning to maybe learn about one or two areas, but he said all the areas are, in fact, a problem right now, that it has just been, in his quote, was a nonstop battle, and this started really late yesterday afternoon.
And the battle continues.
Absolutely. When I hear words like terrible and battle, I mean, those are not, they're not slight words. And these are from individuals who are out on those roads all the time, not coming from a person like myself who I drove from my house to my office this morning. These other, you know, crews, they're experts. They know what they're doing. And when they say it's not good out there, I believe them.
And let's face it, better safe than sorry.
Absolutely. You said it.
Jennifer, we appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Take care.
All right. Jennifer Gonzalez joining us from the Idaho Department of Transportation. Much more coming up next. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
She's been here, there, and everywhere. Joining us now from Channel 7, Bonnie Shelton. Bonnie, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, I have been all over the valley this morning, and I can tell you the roads, they are not good. I am sitting right now just off the inbound connector as it heads into downtown Boise, and people are having to go very slow. Earlier this morning, we were reporting you had to drive about 30 miles per hour on the interstate in order to stay safe and stay away from other cars. And so it was taking us quite a while to get from one exit to another. And things are slow. The snow's picked up, so that's also impacting road conditions. There are crews out there. We've talked with ACHD this morning, ITD. They have plows out, and they're trying to get the sand down and the salt. But things are definitely slippery and slick, and it's going to take you about double time, if not more, to get where you're trying to go today, even if you're just trying to go a short distance.
Now, Bonnie, on one hand, you're reporting the story, but you are the story. What was it like as far as being on the roads and the fellow drivers? Were they going slow, fast?
I can tell you most people are heeding our warnings. They're taking it slow. There were some people on the interstate, at least earlier this morning before the commute really got going when we were out there, that had open road and were still trying to go, you know, the speed limit, which is about 60, and it's definitely not good conditions for that. You want to slow down, even if you think you have an open lane, just because you can turn a corner and there's people with their brake lights on, and that's when things get dicey. So most people, I would say, are taking it easy, and we've seen, you know, people slowing down, giving a lot of extra space, but there have definitely been some intersections that we've hit where it gets slushy, and then it's cold out there, so you got some ice on the ground, and we've seen cars slipping and sliding for sure.
Indeed, and as you've said, and you've been reporting all morning long, and for more information, go to KTVV.com,
yeah.
That this is not going away anytime soon.
No, and I just talked with Larry a little bit ago to get an update, and this is going to continue throughout the morning, through the noon hour. We're going to be out here too, and it's going to get colder later tonight, and there's going to be a lot of precipitation, still snow, and a lot of wetness on the ground, so that's going to cause problems later. We're anticipating some icy conditions, so even when people are heading home tonight, they're going to want to be very careful, and if you can, I would just recommend staying home, staying off the roads. I know all the kids have a snow day, but for those of us that still have to work, it's just a matter of taking your time and making sure that you do plan for a lot of extra commute time.
It'd be great if you could follow your own advice.
It would be, but we're staying safe. We're definitely taking our time and making sure that we're giving a lot of room, and we're sticking close to the station, at least at this point, to try and make sure that we can still cover the road conditions but also stay safe at the same time.
Bonnie, final thought here. What's the most challenging spot you've seen this morning, maybe the most dangerous spot?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. Most dangerous, I've been asking some of the dispatchers. They say everywhere, just because the road conditions are so bad. But one spot that they're definitely saying is very backed up and slow going is around the 10-mile area on I-84. I actually just talked to one of our coworkers who's trying to make her way in this morning. She left at 7 o'clock from that Canyon County area and still is not here. So it is very stop and go, slow going through that area. They've had some slide offs, according to Idaho State Police, and that's been slowing people down. And then obviously some crashes here and there reported throughout the day. Nothing really serious. I think there was one where someone was taken to the hospital, but just a lot of people slipping and sliding, and that's really slowing everybody down.
Bonnie, we appreciate it. Stay warm and safe.
No, we will. Thank you.
Bonnie Shelton joining us from Channel 7 here at 580 KIDO. Let's go to Lisa Egan to talk a little bit about some fun at the library. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, did you make it in today yet?
I sure did.
All right. Give you the bell.
Oh, thank you.
So what's going on at the library?
Well, tomorrow we're having a live raptor program at the library at Cole and Eustick. We have Barb Forderhase, who is an environmental education specialist for the BLM Birds of Prey, and she is going to come and bring some birds to show us and tell us about them.
Sounds very exciting. If people want more information, what can they do?
They can call the library. Our phone number is 570-6900, and we also have the information on our website at boisepubliclibrary.org, and then they would choose the Cole and Eustick location.
Always good to get some free entertainment and education.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a great program. She's going to bring a great horned owl and a Swainson's hawk to show us, and it's for people ages 8 and over.
Even Liberal Steve could show up then. Lisa, thank you. You have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Let's go to traffic now with Dave Burnett at 580.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And Kevin Miller with you here. Do you want to let you know? Let's see. We had Dr. Stewart called us and said he's in today. We had Charles from Portico Pharmacy call us, say he's in today. There are some businesses that are in. Mrs. Miller, she's working today. But if you don't have to work, I wouldn't. But For those of you that are, whether you're working for ACHD, IDT, first responders, God bless you. You know, the only easy day was yesterday. We go to Liberal Steve, who has been pimping a story to me all morning long, and unfortunately, we haven't had a chance to get to it. By the way, we are taking your calls at 580-5436 if you would like to report on road conditions or tell us if your business is open or closed today.
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Good morning. Nice picture of you in the hot tub, by the way.
Hey, before sunup, I went out. Out on my deck on the rails. I measured it. I got 9 3/4 inches of snow up here in the foothills, and I rolled around in the snow in my birthday suit in the dark. Oh, it was freezing cold. I stood up. I looked like a snowman, and then I stepped into the steamy hot tub. Oh, it was great. You know what I forgot?
You know,
to do,
here's the deal. I cut off Ronnie for doing shtick. Nobody cares about you and your pale body in a hot tub.
And the Columbia teacher that killed the rabbit for a demonstration for the class. Good for him. You got all these.
The story goes, you have a teacher at Columbia High, which we've been to, tell folks, hey, I'm going to kill this rabbit. If you don't want to be here, we'll be seeing you. Kills the rabbit, then guts it. And people are outraged.
Well,
these are 10th graders.
The
10th graders, and then the teacher was forced to apologize. I think that the teacher should be forced to apologize and should have to take a few days off.
So what if he did a chicken? Then is it a different story?
I think it was a she. I think it was
more than they do rabbit.
I think it was a she.
Or she or whoever. Come on.
So you don't even know the story, and you've brought this up.
I know the story.
Mm-hmm.
I read the story this morning.
How many students were affected? What type of class was it?
It was 10th grade.
What was the class?
And if they don't know what's going on in 10th grade,
what was the class?
You know, what the class is doesn't matter.
Oh.
No, you're trying to diverge the topic that it was okay. Well, you know, when they drive up to all these little
I don't think it's okay. I think you don't kill an animal in a school.
So you wouldn't eat breaded rabbit nuggets?
Not in front of me, no.
How about do the children get
You know,
to see
here
the
we have a serious kid. Hold on. Here we have the largest snow in the Treasure Valley in years, and we've got you going on and on because of Fuzzy the Rabbit.
Where I was born and raised most of my life, this isn't even snow, Kevin. You know what this is?
You know something?
This is dust.
You're not born or raised there now, buddy.
Well, up in the mountains, it's snow. You want to see snow, go up in the Idaho mountains, and I'll tell you, it'll be all about
I can see the darn snow in my parking lot, Timmy.
Yeah, and you should have stayed home, buddy. All the retail stores and everything should have stayed home so the plows could clear the highways. But what do? Oh, I got to get to the call center so I can call people. I got to get to the retail store so I can sell them a mop. Come on, stay home.
Mops are important today.
But then I remember what it was like, you know, when you're 25, 30, you know, and you got that two kids at home and you got to support them. I got to get to work. I got to make that $100 for the day, man. I got to pay my bills.
Yeah, like I said, the shtick is wearing thin, buddy.
Oh, you and your stick stuff, you know.
You got a bad shtick.
A bad stick. Have you made your angel in the snow yet? Have you let your child come out?
I shoveled snow twice last night.
But did you stop and lay on the lawn and make an angel?
At 46, no one wants to see a plump angel.
Oh, it would have been a pretty angel. You could have took a photo and hung it on your Christmas tree.
You need to get
Miller,
out
Miller, you're missing out on life, man. Come on.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Get out there. Get an inner tube and hit the hills today.
Yeah.
Get a video of it and put it on your Facebook.
There's somebody I'd like to hit, and his name's Liberal Steve.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what.
Oh, boy.
I give you my blessing for the day going home to that little dinky town of Star. You and the governor can sit around and smoke cigars and make angels.
Now that would be something to see. Governor Otter, a cowboy in shape, me, a bell pepper. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, he'd be out there in a blue suit and red tie making his angels. You stay fired up, Mr. Miller.
We'll see you next week. You coming out?
Creek don't rise, Lord willing.
All right. See you, brother. Bye-bye. Who says we don't have entertainment value here? Let's get you to traffic now. 8:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Please be very careful. Drive slow or stay home, quite frankly. Hey, coming up Monday, we'll be live at the Walmart on Garrity and Franklin, Miller's Mission, benefiting the Boise Rescue Mission. Bring us a turkey, don't be one. More information at 580kido.com. And once again, my dear friends, we do appreciate your love, your patriotism, and you giving us the time of day. Good day. God bless. We're with you. Keep the faith.